What a beautiful weekend it has been. My goodness, convoy days, beautiful, beautiful weather for convoy days. And of course, today we gather our strength here, centering ourselves in Christ through the mission guest here, interpreting this wonderful, wonderful United Methodist mission for Imagine No Malaria. We have Dave Bowling. We have his lovely wife Anita, and I have some news for you that I just gathered. Anita asked where her aunt and uncle used to sit. Are you interested in this now? Did I pique your interest? Her aunt and uncle, Dwight and Ray Smith. Yeah. Yeah, so I got to visit with Anita. Dave, I showed her where they would sit. And that explains, too, Dave, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, as you are going to discover more and more. But that explains why Al was talking about his good friend. Here it's family. And so Al is going to come after the first of the year, sometime after the first of the year. I know Dick Miller and I were talking about that in the mission committee. To see when we can facilitate Al, because as Anita said, how long did Al live over there? 20 years in Africa. And I can remember when Dwight and Ray were so thrilled that the internet service came so that, you know, they could communicate with Al over there. So this is really, really, I mean, this is like homecoming already, Tawna. We talk about homecoming. And of course, Tawna was really interested at the West Ohio Conference, Dave, where she... Tawna was the first one to actually to mention you and the possibility of bringing the program here. So this is a banner day, another banner day. These are fresh off the press. Dave says we are the first church to get these. We're the first church to get these. So I'll make sure I here, Laurel. Communications coordinator, she is. And I got to show, here, honey, I'll just give you this, but I've got something that we are, Dave brought these, and there's a bit of a child in me, so immediately I saw these. fly swatters, which in this case, of course, mosquito swatters. And Margaret, you could have used this yesterday, couldn't you, buddy, for the bee that stung you. We've got more of the pamphlets here to keep us focused on the mission for Imagine No Malaria. Coach Bowen, I gotta make sure that I introduce you to Dave and Anita here a little bit, you and Pam. He will literally be riding circles around us today, quite literally. He coaches all this, the bike-a-thon activities, and makes sure that we're all safe, you know. But Coach, take a look at these. How about that? The little wristbands that'll be handed out. So we've got a lot of nice visual aids and Dave Bowling has a powerful presentation for us that will come shortly as he interprets this mission, Imagine No Malaria. Before we begin our worship, though, are there any other parish notices to come before us? Don't forget, Thursday night we'll resume the Deeper Connections Bible study. That's at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And plus, there'll be the pickle jar opportunity to support Imagine No Malaria. There are also baskets. We'll also take the baskets out there for the table fellowship in case somebody comes in later, couldn't be here because it's been convoy days. I know a lot of activities. Maybe they'll want to come for the table fellowship to support Imagine No Malaria. So we'll have baskets out there as well. But if Dave's with us, blessing to have him for the 9:30 worship hour. And then 10:30 to 11:30, we'll be in the fellowship hall for a question and answer period. So this is going to be very, very rich. Any other parish notices then to come before us? And I see Jean back here. Yes, Jean? Very, very good. First meeting on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. First UMYF meeting. Fantastic, Jean. Any other parish notices to come before us? Let us prepare our hearts for... Oh, excuse me. Yes, yes, Jean. Not a problem. Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I hear you, Gene. I mean, we were very sensitive. We're very sensitive to the needs here. We're flexible. So we're going to push that to next Wednesday, right, Gene? Next Wednesday evening? You got it. Any other parish notices to come before us? Well, we praise the Lord for this beautiful weekend and this opportunity to serve Christ. Let's center ourselves in Christ as we prepare for the morning worship. Let us pray. Eternal God, we call upon you in your healing capacity today. Help us on this special Sunday to join forces with you in the fight against malaria. We want to make a huge impact against this dreaded disease. So therefore, be present with us. Help us through our worship to align our resources in such a way that we strike a unified blow against malaria so that lives will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we gather for worship, Africa is on our mind.
Yes, as we gather for worship, we sense our connection to our global family.
Our worship of God compels us to do something to alleviate unnecessary suffering.
So we will join others in a common fight against malaria.
Together, we will eliminate this dreaded killer of children and pregnant women. Imagine no malaria. Lift up your hearts, your voices unto the Lord in this hymn of praise, 561, Jesus, united by thy grace.
Jesus, you and I.
Now take this opportunity. Welcome one another through the passing of the peace. Going to have Katie carry the microphone for us. If you're a visitor, what an opportunity. This is a great day in the kingdom of God, and we welcome you. As a matter of fact, we have visitors cards. If you wish to take one of those visitors cards in the pew, fill it out, and when the ushers come by for the regular morning offering, just drop the visitors card into the offering plate. And Lord Dave and Anita, we got the best here. I mean, they never fail to get those to me. And we will not fail to get a call out to you so we can get you better acquainted with the wonderful hospitality of this church family. And speaking of hospitality, joys and concerns, let's share what that is. If you have a joy, for instance, if it's a birthday announcement, wedding anniversary, perhaps a testimony of praise of how the Lord God is giving you strength, shining light upon your path, and you want to lift up that joyous testimony, raise your hand for those joys. Could be a concern, maybe somebody you love is sick, a family in bereavement. You want to alert us to that need. That's those concerns as well, joys or concerns. But keep your hand up, and Katie will bring you the mic so we can all hear in the house. Joys and concerns, just raise your hands.
Our niece has cancer in the pancreas, liver, and stomach, and she just was operated on. She should come home today, but she's got a long way to go to get well, and hopefully everything will go good for her. The surgery went well, but she still has a long way to go.
Karen, thanks for lifting up that urgent concern. We will keep her in our prayers. You and Gail will keep her in prayer. Yes, Brother Dave.
Just want to thank everybody for all the prayers and everything, for all the ones that I have turned in and everything, because it seems to be changing some of them, and they keep in touch with me. So they just wanted me to thank everybody for all the prayers.
Thank you, Brother Dave. And your sister, my spiritual mother, Fritzy, called last night, and she had been to the ophthalmologist, and you know, we're all praying for that eye situation of hers, and she's really, really heavy in her spirit right now because she didn't get very encouraging news from the ophthalmologist. So all the more we need to lift up Sister Fritzy in our prayers. Other joys or concerns? Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I have to say, thanks for making my job easier. Greg, Danielle, and Haley absolutely rock. We did Convoy's Got Talent yesterday, a talent showcase, and I'm not kidding, it made me so proud. And the girls, honestly, I had more people say, why did they only play one song? And you guys were fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. I had to tell Gene already on him. Haley and Danielle, I've already told Gene, UMYF leader. I said, man, you got a band. So, yeah, it was awesome. Any other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? I want to lift up a joy, too, for Judy Farmer heading up the Table Fellowship. And, boy, I'm telling you, Brother Dave, Sister Anita, these people can cook. You're going to have a wonderful time at the table. So we're looking forward. But, Judy, thank you. Thank you so much for heading that up. Any other joys or concerns?
I'd like to thank everyone that came out for the Convoy Community Days. If it wasn't for all the volunteers, that make this go on, and for all the people that support it. We had probably the best weather we've had for many years for convoy days. It didn't rain.
Beautiful day.
So
beautiful.
Thank you to everyone that supported the committee and our town in any way.
Just wonderful. Raise a cheer. Beautiful convoy days. Wonderful, wonderful work. And Deb, we're going to carry on into today, this afternoon, as I pointed out. Now, by the way, we've got two fantastic coaches here. I don't want to be remiss. Coach Brett is also an outstanding coach, right, Brother Dave? But I knew Brother Dave was a cyclist, an avid cyclist. So we, when it came time for Gaston Ntombo and the anointing of the plane that we went through, that's when we turned to Coach Bowen, see if he'd head up a bike-a-thon. So we launched that last year. And Dave, could we have better weather today? Is this just beautiful? So Deb, once again, man, looking forward to this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Bike-a-thon, all proceeds will go to Imagine No Malaria. Any other joys or concerns? Let's show our appreciation for Katie this morning. Thank you, Katie. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our provider, we dare to imagine a world free of malaria. We pray in the name of Jesus that the efforts of this day will help to make healing the reality for many. Malaria is preventable, treatable, and beatable. Therefore, help us, Lord, as we join others in the fight against this disease of poverty, for we ask this at the same time, requesting that you deepen our faith, O Lord, as we share from our hearts now, lifting up that beloved prayer that Jesus the Savior invites us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, before we have the scripture reading, Brother Dave, Sister Anita, you're going to love this choir and our coach here. Keith Bowers has picked out a very special anthem for this day of missions. Keith? Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Keith. And the choir is going to come down here. Brother Dave has a very rich program and many visuals that are really going to help bring this right to our doorstep here. So they're going to go ahead and prepare to take their place. And then I'm going to lift up the scripture, and then immediately after that, we'll receive Brother Dave Bowen to share with us. And by the way, I might add that Brother Dave has used the Common English Bible, which if you've been at conference, Donna, right, Bishop Gregory Palmer's favorite version. This is really rich, and I invite you all to take a look at the Common English Bible, a great work. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Now when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne, and all the nations will be gathered in front of him, and he will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats he will put on his left side. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked, give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Brother Dave, we welcome you. Shall we? God bless you.
Well, good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord. If I were back home in Powell, that's how I would greet you if I were standing at our altar that morning. You need to know that I'm just like you. I'm a lay person. I am not seminary trained, but my heart is with God, and I've always had this passion to be in ministry. And so this Imagine No Malaria program has enabled me to do that in lots of unique ways. And I have been blessed to travel to lots of different churches around the conference. And I want to say to you at the start, y'all are doing it right. And I thank you for that, because you're already out there engaging your community in this program and using it as an opportunity to tell your story. And that's vitally important to the success of Imagine No Malaria. Because, my friends, as much as this is about money, this is more than just about money. This is about discipleship. This is about hospitality. This is about making the United Methodist Church known in our local communities as a mission outreach organization that cares about the love and companionship of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Pastor Greg, for inviting me today, and Anita and I are just delighted to be with you. I do bring you greetings from my wife's cousins, Susan Shockey and Alan Smith, whose parents, Dwight and Ray, as Greg said, were members here for over 60 years, and they shared much of their love for this congregation and for this community with us. So let's move on now and look at the He's right on it. Thank you. Remember the words of Jesus from this morning's scripture. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Over the years, I've read this scripture almost as a checklist, and perhaps you have as well. Do these things, and you'll be accepted by God. Just do it. And if you don't, well, you know where you're going to end up. But is that really what Jesus is saying in this scripture? Is that really what it's about? I want you to, by the end of this time together, I hope you'll see that the scripture is about invitation as well as accountability. That it's about the invitation of God to be in ministry with Jesus Christ, with those who need it the most, the lost, the least, the hungry. But don't give up. Don't, and you'll end up there. But what does it have to do with Imagine No Malaria? This hymn is from the United Methodist Hymnal. It was not written by a United Methodist. You guys are good. Thank you. Christ for the world we sing, to the world to Christ we bring. With loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin-sick and sorrow-worn, whom Christ doth heal. The United Methodist Church has a rich theology of caring for the whole person, body and soul, rooted in scripture, tradition, and music. This hymn was written by a congregational pastor from Cleveland, Ohio, who used to be a missionary in Syria. It's bound together in love for the poor and those who mourn and overborn. It's the healing power of Jesus Christ that holds us and binds us together as the United Methodist Church. It says, chin as children of God. Christ heals and invites us to love as he does, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. Well, my friends, I've always been fascinated by the lives of missionaries and their adventures, and their romance of it all, and oh yes, their service to God. That's Gaston de Tombo, the Wings of the Morning pilot, there in the picture in the bottom corner. But a remarkable missionary team came from Northwest Ohio, and I think maybe you even helped them at some point in time. Their name was Tom and Sharon Crow. Do you remember them?
Yes.
All right. Well, now they're retired and living in Alger, Ohio, but they did remarkable work in the Congo. Did you know that they were the very first missionaries to provide insecticide-treated bed nets to the people of Africa and the people of the Congo? They were the very first. They bought the nets themselves. They trained the people how to use them. They helped people know to get past their fears of them, for there's lots of fears about using bed nets that I can tell you about during the fellowship time. But they were praying and caring for the people in their community right where they were planted, and they were companioning them into wholeness both physically and spiritually. They saw the face of Jesus in those they served. You see, they were imagining no malaria long before the rest of the church caught on, didn't they? They understood that life-saving presence that can be made by those bed nets. Imagine no malaria seeks to know the face of Jesus in 7.5 million people by our congregation, by our denomination worldwide, raising $75 million. We have $62 million of that raised. That's about 80%. West Ohio is ahead of the game. We have 82% of our dollars, of our $3.5 million goal of saving 350,000 lives, is already raised or committed. And I don't want to diminish anything anybody ever does in this, because every dollar counts. Every penny counts. Every big dollar donation counts. All goes towards saving lives. $10 saves a life. This is a program designed to complement what you are already doing. already to complement what you are doing in mission in this community and in the greater Northwest Ohio area and in the world. It empowers our churches to reach out beyond ourselves and to have a way to reach the national stage, the international community, where people are dying from a disease the rest of the world has forgotten. You see, malaria is caused by the bite of a parasite-infected mosquito, a disease that in the 1800s, you all maybe know from your history, infected this area of Ohio, the Black Swamp area of Ohio, immensely. And there would be summertime epidemics that would kill hundreds of people each year. Today, it's a disease, as I said, that the rest of the world has forgotten, but it's a disease with flu-like symptoms that has a very short window for treatment. Only it's 100 times worse than the flu we experience today. A couple weeks ago, last week, Greg asked you to pray for Dominguez and told you this story. Dominguez was a little boy that was only 15 months old, and his parents weren't able to get him to the hospital in time. They waited 2 days before they went to the hospital. And before that time, it took him 2 days to get there. And in that time, he had deteriorated so fast, they weren't able to save him. Mosquitoes breed in standing water where all children love to play. I know I did. But the bite of that mosquito results in a compromised immune system for its victim and quickly deteriorates their bodies and results in death. There's a lot of standing water in Africa, and there's a lot of children as well. Think about it. The next time you see a rain puddle in the parking lot, about just how protected we and our children are from this disease. The thing I want you to remember, though, is that imaginal malaria is first rooted in prayer. Like we talked about, these prayer cards are vitally important. If you've got one still, take it home and put it on your refrigerator and remember to pray for the children of Africa. Pray for their health and for their families, and pray for your children as well, because this is a mutual ministry. Dominguez died from the lack of a needle small enough for his arms. Today, 1,440 children will die from malaria. One every minute of this day. And the same will be true tomorrow. But one wonders then about the realities of Matthew 25 that say, pardon me, I want to cry out to God and say, why? Why, God, must children die needlessly? Why? But Matthew 25 seems to be calling me to a different place. It calls me to stop asking why and start asking what. What would you have me do, Lord, to save lives? The lives of children from malaria. The lives of the children of convoy. The answer in Matthew is easy. It's heal, feed, clothe, visit, quench, make room. It seems to me that this is about the love that Jesus declared. Love God, your neighbor as yourself. For love has taken up residence in every human heart. That love has a name, and its name is Jesus. Imagine No Malaria empowers us to save the lives of millions of children. Yes, millions. That's an answer to my personal prayer. Of use me, O God, use me. We come to the second verse of our hymn. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer. Remember, Imagine No Malaria is grounded, just like the rest of your missions here, in prayer. Christ for the world we sing was one of 200 hymns written by Samuel Walcott after he reached age 55. That means there's hope for me yet. Today, our missionaries work side by side, you see, with the people of Africa. This hymn was written in the time of colonial Africa, when mission work and ministry was something you did for people, or you did to people, rather than what we do today in terms of serving people We do ministry with the people of Africa, still winning souls to Christ. But to do it together, it's a ministry that recognizes the gifts of all people. That too is part of loving as Jesus loved. So the words of the hymn are still true. Love rooted in prayer, from the dark despair of malaria to the places of hope and healing, we pray. The dark despair of malaria this year will claim at least 627,000 people. The good news is that that's down a bit from prior years, but still that's twice the population of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Think about that. Women who are pregnant and children under the age of 5 are most vulnerable to malaria because it destroys their immune system. 85% of the deaths will be children, 90% of them will be in sub-Saharan Africa, where the United Methodist Church has a large and historic context. When it strikes, it can result in reducing 25% of a household's income. That would be quite a hit for us. And it destroys about 40% of a child's learning capacity. $10, the cost of a bed net, will save the life of a child this day. So I hope all of us will put our $10 in the pickle jar today and help you get started. Here's my $10. $10 will save a life from a disease that the rest of the world has forgotten. Imagine. Now I want to show you a story about Mama Rose. Rose was a refuge from the wars in the Congo. She lost her husband and all 7 of her children to malaria. Together, let's watch this video and hear her story. Video, guys.
In Kasumgami, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, daily burdens are heavy, cast off like a tattered garment. The village lies at the feet of a majestic presidential palace. Of the 20,000 living here, many are refugees. Locals say they are the poorest. Mama Rose is resident here. Malaria is stripped her of every precious thing she ever had.
My husband died from malaria. 7 children died from malaria. So I don't have anyone.
She expects that one day the bite of a mosquito will take her too. She lives alone in the one-room house in a neighborhood that has no clean water, just this putrid swill. It's the same water that will likely cause the malaria death of 1 in 5 of these children. This mother knows too well the danger.
I wanted to take my child to the hospital, but I couldn't afford to do that. So he died.
Shortly after her 2-year-old died, her 7-year-old son succumbed to the disease.
When someone has malaria, you are looking at someone who is going to die.
There is scarcely anyone here who has not lost a loved one to malaria. There is no access to care. There are no mosquito nets, no drugs. But the United Methodist Church offers hope where little hope exists through Imagine No Malaria.
I don't want anyone else to lose their life to malaria. It is painful when you lose someone to this disease.
Here in Kasumgami, Nazareth United Methodist Church is a pivotal partner in prevention, education, communication, and treatment. Someday, the church will have a clinic, distribute medicine and bed nets, and teach people how to prevent and survive malaria. Someday. Together, with communities like this one, we will achieve victory.
Malaria devastates families and imprisons people like Mama Rose in poverty and isolation. For many in her village believe that if they touch her, they'll get malaria simply by touching her. Living life without touch of another human being, especially if we know what to do to care for that person, is the opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do in the scripture. It's the opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do in love. If we know it, it might even be a sin. Loving like these verses from Matthew 25 is relational for the entire world. For the Methodist claim that from John Wesley to today, when we declare what Wesley said, the world is my parish. We, my friends, are in training to love like those who Jesus loves and love them in that same way. That's what Imagino Malaria is about doing. That's what the Convoy United Methodist Church is about doing. There's another face in the story of malaria, a face of hope and trust, a face of the United Methodist Church. Well, you need to know, my friends, that the Methodist Church in Africa starts differently than it would here. If we were going to start a new church service in Van Wert, we'd go over and we'd rent a storeroom and we'd probably have a church service there, right? Or we'd go to a school and we'd do it there, or maybe start in a house. It starts differently in Africa. It'll start with a well, or it'll start with a school, or an orphanage, or a clinic. Wherever the need is the greatest, that's where the Methodist Church is located. And it builds from that. By meeting people where they are, but not leaving them there, it brings them along and cares for their bodies and their souls. That's Methodism at Wesley's heart. That's Methodism in Africa that meets people where they are, but does not live them there. Our gospel message this morning is alive and lived out every day, caring for the poor and the sick, the naked and the lost. We are the church of the city, but here is the important thing. We are the church past the end of the trail. We are the church past the end of the trail. For the United Methodist Church is not just a trusted source for spiritual life, a trusted source for health care as well, with a proven track record in sub-Saharan Africa. Through UMCOR, our mission wing, and other health initiatives, we are the health source for people in sub-Saharan Africa. We are their first choice for health care. Today, a key strategy, part of that strategy, is the building of health boards that have been doing these kind of things. We have over 300 health clinics in sub-Saharan Africa. We have over almost 12,000 community healthcare workers trained to train their neighbor, to love their neighbor as themselves, with the message of how to protect yourself against malaria and other diseases. That's awesome. 14 health boards in 16 countries are managing this program in accountable ways that are accountable to the church and accountable to each other. It assures that every dollar we spend gets spent for Imagino Malaria. My salary, the salary of others like me, does not come out of it. So they are involved with the stakeholders at the root in providing education and treatment and prevention and communication, just like you saw in this brochure. And I'd encourage you to take this home and read it. Take it to the bike-a-thon today and give it to other people so they know what's going on and what your church is excited about. These modern-day disciples of Jesus Christ are making an important difference. I want to introduce you to one of those folks. Her name is Beatrice Kabanga. She let God lead her through lots of tough times. She's a nurse and trained with special education in nursing administration. She was working as a parking lot attendant because there was no place for her to work in the nursing. She finally got connected to the United Methodist Church in Sierra Leone, and she has become the health board coordinator for our church. She's more than just training people, though. She also, and if you go to the next slide, she's a powerful example of our Imagine No Malaria Dollars at Work. She supervised the distribution of 700,000 bed nets this past June to the people in the Bow District of Sierra Leone, where the need was great. 100% of every dollar given goes to save lives, goes to stories like this. Do you remember this? This was the blessing program at Ottawa, Ohio, where we put our hands on that Cessna caravan before it went home to the Congo and blessed Gaston and that plane, the Wings of Its Morning pilot. I hope some of you got a chance to be there and to be a part of it. But did you know Gaston was a malaria survivor? Now, Greg, you got to make sure you show him that video sometime, because it's important. Because it goes along with those posters and there's all kinds of things. See, what I'm trying to help you understand is that Make Imagine No Malaria, not a program of 3 years, but a program within a season each for 3 years. Imagine No Malaria is a 3-year initiative of the church. I'm working with it every day. You've got other fish to fry. You've got other missions to take care of. So find a season of the year that will work for you to talk about Imagine No Malaria this year and next year and the next. The United Methodist Church is building an infrastructure that will reach people and who need care and hope the most. Where care and hope are planted, it has changed the culture from thinking about themselves as victims rather than of malaria and of disease and with despair. It changes it to hope. We are hope builders in Africa. And we've been doing that for over 200 years. I think that's a remarkable thing. The scripture today persuades me to this point. Make love your aim. Make love the aim of my life and align my life, my work, my gifts, my life with God's loving action. I think it's the same call on each of us, on each of you. Accountable to love over our fears and self-judgment. So today I want you to know 2 things, really 3 things. Imagine No Malaria works. It's making a huge difference in Africa, and it's making a huge difference in our local churches, and you're a great example of that. But here's what I want you to remember. You are beloved by God in ways far greater than you can ever imagine. You don't need to go about this program alone. Partner with another United Methodist Church. Partner with a hospital. Partner with a school. Partner with whomever you can partner with to help tell the story of Imagine No Malaria. To help invite them into this congregation to know who you are as well as the Methodist Church. Imagine No Malaria is providing a way for you to love the people of God as God loves them. Make love real among people who are drowning in tears of grief from the loss of their children and friends from malaria. It's one of the most joy-filled things I've ever been involved in my life, saving the life of children. I invite you into that same joy. So Christ, to the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring. With one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord. In ways that meets today's needs, not stuck in the past, but meeting the day's needs of Convoy Ohio and of Sub-Saharan Africa, sharing the work with others in ways that are accountable to each other and to God. So thank you for what you're doing for Imagine No Malaria. It's a disease that we can beat. It's a disease that's treatable and preventable 100%. Every $10 saves a life. So I would say to you this, do what you're doing. And do more of it. Have more bike rides. Have spaghetti dinners. Have pancake breakfast. Whatever it is. And find ways to invite your community in on the joy of saving a life of a child. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you, Brother Dave. Now, of course, we're going to have our regular offering. But then, as Brother Dave has shared We're going to have this pickle jar offering during the closing hymn, but at this time we'll have our ushers to assist us in the regular morning offering. Let us pray together. Eternal God, through our gifts, we seek to be faithful agents of change. We pray that your Holy Spirit will prompt us to give cheerfully and generously to the end that lives will be saved. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Brad. The closing hymn, of course, is a poetic echo of this tremendous, challenging message that we've received from Brother Dave, but as he shared, and of course, during, you're about to witness something, Sister Anita, you're going to love this. This church really responds. We're going to have the pickle jar offering during the closing hymn, and as Brother Dave said, you know, $10 will buy that life-saving net, but also he mentioned, and we earnestly want you to remember this, that no gift is too small. No gift is too small. So during the closing hymn, we will have the pickle jar and love offering for Imagine No Malaria, and that closing hymn again, Christ for the World We Sing.
invite you to remain for the church school hour, 10:30 to 11:30 in the fellowship hall, for the great opportunity here for question and answers with Brother Dave. And of course, the table fellowship. But at 4 o'clock, we will be engaging. I know we did last year, Coach Bowen. I know there were many outside of this church body who partnered with us in this mission invitation. So 4 o'clock, we're going to take the mission invitation to the highways. And now, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.